All right, it's wonderful. I am having a ball.
Clearly.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place, Season 1, Episode 9, Responsibly Yours. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting. Just a gentle reminder, because this is the last opportunity that we'll have, our shirts are still available as of this recording up until next Sunday night-ish. So if you're interested, please do snag yourself one before then.
Go to againwiththis90210.com to find the links. We've also been pushing them in our social media on Twitter at AWT90210. So from one or the other of those places, you should be able to find them. We have Kelly is a Bitch About It and the return of Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know, and Don't Be Such a Squeeve. So thank you for supporting the podcast by supporting our amazing shirts. Ready to get into learning about responsibility, Sarah?
Sure. Finally.
Well, first, before we get to that, we have to start with our B-plot. Who cares if Jake and Sandy reunite? For some reason, Michael does. Boredom might be that reason. Who knows?
Yeah, you have a kid coming, although at least they remembered that this time, unlike most other weeks.
So true. Yeah, Jake comes back to the complex to find Michael dressed up while gardening because, as Sarah just said, the show has remembered that Jane is pregnant. Michael says she's coming off a week of morning sickness, so they're going out because she's feeling romantic. He also thinks he may get lucky tonight. Obviously, that is a direct quote, but it seems both dudes think the grass is greener, etc. Clip two.
You got a woman who loves you, a baby on the way. Don't kid yourself. You're lucky.
Hey, what are you complaining about? Have you got all the women you want? Freedom to spare.
Oh, yeah. I got a maid. You're right.
I mean, believe me, guy, you know, relationship is hard work. It's something you definitely have to be ready for.
And you gotta want it bad enough.
Sure.
Even if I did, I'd blow it. Somehow I always do.
Excuse me, cry me a river. Aren't you the guy who wrote the book on getting women?
Getting them, that's one thing. Keeping them, that's something else.
Okay. Lovelorn Jake, the commitment file.
Yeah.
Why is this? Who cares?
Yeah, but nothing to this point has indicated this is something that he craves or is missing in his life. Like, it's so out of nowhere.
No.
But if Jake really does think he's missing out on not being in a relationship, Michael says he advises the slow approach, meaning date someone for a while or even develop a friendship first. He has one final bit of advice. Clip three.
Just a matter of controlling your animal instincts.
Gross. Like, the framing of this, like, makes the woman, whoever she may be. I mean, we've already tipped it. It's Sandy this time. But like, it makes her such an object. It's like so gross and dumb.
Yeah. And kind of rapey, let's face it.
Kind of, yeah. So it seems Jake is trying to put Michael's strat to work on Sandy, who doesn't want to go get a burger after work because she's kind of tired, trying to force him into spelling out that this would be a date, though he balks at saying the actual word. And she is justly dubious after the mistake that was their one-night stand, but Jake wants to wipe the slate clean and do things right this time, strictly platonically at first, while they get to know each other as friends. So is it a date or not? Like, maybe clear up your messaging and you would have a easier time with this.
Yeah. But of course he can't, because the messaging is ridiculous and out of character, and it's only designed to give them something to do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind looking at Grant Chow either, but this is so dumb.
Yeah. And the best that she can even muster is to, like, shrug her acceptance as the scene ends, which is a little funny.
Well, and wasn't she just, like, she was just stalked?
Yeah, in the last episode.
Can we maybe have an episode between that traumatic experience and this? I mean, not that, again, making out with Grant Chow, well, could be traumatic based on what we saw with Kelly at Mel and Jackie's wedding.
Yeah, your nose is going to get in there and it'll be awkward if nothing else. Mm. So Sandy's getting ready for her date with Jake in a dark plaid jacket at the height of summer in LA. I mean, I know this episode aired in September, but that is the height of summer in LA. Well, Rhonda tries to remind her that things didn't go great the last time Sandy and Jake tried to get together. And we learn that apparently that one night stand did start out as a regular date. They were going to go to the movies, but ended up having a few drinks at home and sleeping together instead. And then Jake commenced dodging her calls, despite presumably seeing her around the complex like every day. We've already seen like they're having cookouts by the pool like every other night. It would be impossible to avoid her, but good luck. So she thinks maybe he was just more honest than she was. He knew he wasn't ready for a relationship. And in the past 6 months, that's changed, perhaps. And she insists that they're going to do it right this time and learn to communicate without jumping into bed. And their very serious real date has brought them where else?
Shooters.
Shooters.
I mean,
though they did get take to her movie to first. Eclipse.
Come on, man.
No, it's true. And who wouldn't want to go to the place where they work after a movie, like on a date? Come on. But whatever.
Well, Sandy, not to mention, you'll see this in the visual aids, but she's wearing like her, you know, just friends movie date night outfit is like she's going to a semi-formal at a sorority. Like it's a lot. And yet not much.
So Sandy congratulates them both on getting through the movie without so much as holding hands in clip four.
I used to think that you looked at me like this airhead blonde, all willing and easy.
And I figured you thought I was just some macho construction worker looking to put another notch in his tool belt.
Funny how wrong we could be.
Were you, though?
Is it funny? No. Funnier than some things, but we'll get to it.
Yeah. So the more they talk about their proximity to each other as neighbors, the hornier it makes them both. And yet, when they get back to the courtyard, they part with a cordial handshake that they agree makes them both feel like they're back in junior high. So she pulls him in for a hug that turns into a kiss that turns into her walking him backwards into his apartment door, still making out. Guys, all your neighbors are certainly watching you because they have no lives. Like, this cannot end well for you.
Yeah.
But when he gets her on the couch, she reminds him that this wasn't how things were supposed to end. And still trying to kiss on her, he says he just got carried away. And she starts yelling at him that this is all he ever wanted, as if she wasn't part of the kissing that propelled them into this apartment in the first place, ma'am. Not that she can't change her mind. Of course she can. But she's acting like she wasn't just as horny as he was to this point, which is not what we saw. But whatever. They start fighting about which of them actually escalated things to sex in clip five.
Yeah, why not? Sex is all we've got going for us, isn't it?
That's not true, and you know
it. Yeah, it is. We use it as some sort of escape, a way out of avoiding what we really feel, and that's not me. Not anymore.
Come on, we made a mistake.
Yeah, we did. You bet we did. Without sex, there is nothing between us.
Okay, fine. Fine. If that's the way you want it, that's fine. Then we're nothing.
That's not the way I want it, Jake. That's just the way it is.
Oh. Sad blue balls guitar. I called for that clip primarily because her acting is so bad. So bad. It really is like she is barely off book. Like, it, you know, maybe learn your lines. Also, mm-hmm. You're supposed to be Southern.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's a nighttime soap, but A, it isn't really that. Like, there's still, this is the problem with the show still at this point. Pre-Amanda, they're shooting for dramedy and they suck at both. So just get to the suds, please. We're dying.
Yeah,
here.
For as much shit as we give actors on this show when they are supposed to be trying to cry, Ian Ziering and Tori Spelling, the kind of worst thing is when they're trying to be mad, because especially if they're trying to do an accent, like even a good actor, when they're trying to scream and be agitated, will revert to their real accent under those circumstances. And this was a rough one.
Yeah. Sorry. The 908 called. You're done.
So the next day in the laundry room, Jake is blaming Michael for the shit show the date became because it happened on Michael's advice. And Sandy upstairs is also bitching about it to Rhonda, and cut between the two rants as they each separately declare that the other is dead to him or her, basically. And sometime later, Sandy and a crop top, I am sorry to say, looks very cute on her. See into the visual aids.
It really does. Although perhaps not the outfit in which to object that your friend with benefits is treating you like a sex object.
Yeah.
I mean, it's adorable. It's super 90s, but it's adorable. Mm-hmm. Still, I don't know. Cover your navel for those conversations.
Perhaps. So she in this crop top, which you can see visually, it's pounding on Jane's door with an urgent closet door repair demand that Michael won't be able to fulfill because he's at the hospital. And Jane implies that Sandy should go ask Jake to fix it. And of course, he's right there fixing his fucking motorcycle right next to the fucking pool again. Stop. I just want to remind everyone. The last we saw, this guy got a job repairing motorcycles at a shop. Like, take it to work. What is wrong with you?
He can't. It's broken. Also, right, why is it always broken?
Yeah. Are you good at your job? Maybe not. So Jake does come to fix the closet, but he and Sandy are both annoyingly snippy at each other until Jake fucks something up, loses his balance, eats shit all over her vanity, and they both crack up and agree that they actually are friends and should keep it that way. His physical comedy, I'm sorry to say, like, this episode is so blah, I did find it funny.
I laughed. Also, he looks super cute in this episode. When his hair is all, like, post-makeout, like, at sixes and sevens. He is very charming in this episode.
It's true. Do I need to tell you there are lots of pictures of this in the visual aids? I don't. I hope it's obvious at this point. There are, so check those out. On to the A plot. Billy's dating an older woman with a child, and Allison has thoughts, and spoiler alert, as the child of a former single mother. So do I. Strap in. Billy is driving his cab when he sees Abroad leaning over the steaming engine of her car and makes the perviest face. See this in the visual aids, too. I'm sorry. It's a gif. Before pulling over to help slash hit on her in his jorts. This is also a good point to mention. Not a good shirt on Billy in this episode.
No. And he's not even the worst. He's not even the most aggrieved victim of... the shirt, I don't know, the mad shirt-er of the Melrose set.
Yeah.
This poor child. We'll get to it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, she, a woman, knows more about cars than Billy does, and the only help he can really offer is to drive her to a gas station. So in the cab, he's trying to chat her up at the top of his lungs over the noise of the radio until she asks him to turn it down. Like, even Billy is not that stupid. Of all the stuff they could have for this, like, meet cute, I guess. This is the dumbest.
Plus, it seems that the windows are down. Maybe driving a cab isn't for you, young man.
So we learn her name is Dawn. She sells shoes. He asks her out right before they pull into the gas station, where she finds out she doesn't have cash, but does have a sheaf of passes for open mic night at the Laugh Connection. Obviously spelled L-A-F-F in my notes. We never see a sign, but I don't care. It's canon. She is not an actress, as he guessed, but is an aspiring comic, which he thinks is cool. So Billy later is trying to assemble a crowd for Dawn's show, but Rhonda, Gay Matt, and Allison are more interested in Rhonda's crawfish etouffee. Allison, as is her wont, shades Billy for falling in love at first sight, but Billy claims he's interested in Dawn's personality. And then we're at her show. Oh, God. Oh my God, Dawn's dress. Sarah, Dawn's show dress.
It's like all of Dawn's dresses, like it's from Express.
Yeah.
It's like that sort of U-neck bodycon, super loud Warhol fourth generation photocopy print dress.
It looks like a Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper where the unicorns have been edited out.
Yeah, pretty much. I had five of those easily.
Can you see it in the visual aids? Of course you can. Mm-hmm. So then we have to see A, an actress, trying to sell B, badly written stand-up material. The only thing about the storyline I hate more than what a bad single mother she is. So let's hear some of that in clip six.
I'm in my apartment by myself when all of a sudden the lights go off and I freak out. I think, oh my God, there is a guy in the basement. He has flipped a switch and he's coming to kill me. End of story. And I look out the window, and I notice the entire block is out. And I am so relieved because I think, maybe he'll start at the other end of the block. Okay.
This is so painful. Like, I understand why writers want to try to do this, but it's like, you can't just... put material in the cadence of a joke without there actually being a joke. Like, just because she's telling a story in a like kind of amusing way, that is not stand-up material. Like, where's the joke?
Yeah. And don't, like, have we learned nothing from the movie Punchline?
Yeah.
Don't show the routines.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Like, you could achieve, I mean, you could achieve the same by just having her come off the stage, like, looking like she killed. It doesn't matter. Like, sure, we'll take your word for it. I mean, we won't, but now we have the evidence that we don't need to. Like, this is bad.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah,
we're probably supposed to think Allison is only politely laughing because she is jealous of Dawn. And while I'm sure she is, this also isn't funny. And I don't even know what the hell this is. Clip 7.
I'm a little paranoid. I've only been divorced about 6 months now.
She's divorced.
Thanks, Billy. Hey. It's closed captioned.
She's divorced.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe she is. Maybe this is just for the sake of the joke. You don't know. Whatever.
Also,
she goes on to
it?
Tell an actually very dark joke in clip 8.
Have you noticed that guys seem to get serious a lot quicker these days? I mean, with everything going on out there, I guess it's a little spooky. They got to choose between marriage and death. I figure that at least with marriage, they get fed. But the joke's on them. Because once they get married, they find out we don't cook anymore.
Okay. That's an AIDS joke, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's also a... what appears to be a women's liberation joke.
Yeah, that's pure Joan Rivers from the 60s.
Yeah.
That joke. Ooh.
Yeah.
Minus the AIDS part.
Even
obviously.
Joan Rivers was like, man, I'm sick of that joke in like 1964. She's like, yeah, nah.
Oof. Yeah. Also, in this part, Billy like aggressively elbows Allison in the ribs to like get her to laugh, and she apparently painfully. So I made a gif of that too, because of course he can't control his arms.
Although, I'm not sure, like, I'm not sure that anyone is supposed to think that she's funny.
Right.
Because Gay Matt and Rhonda are both like, you were great. It just made me think of that story that my friend used to tell about his stepdad and his terrible toupee. And his response, like, the stepdad would get like a series of terrible toupees and be like, what do you think? And my friend would be like, well, how do you like it?
No.
Just made me think of that. Gay Matt is like, how did it feel? Like, oh, that's not good.
I mean, they do show them reacting and they seem to be laughing genuinely to me, but yeah, I mean, I would not blame them if they were just being polite. So when she comes over to the table, everyone is very supportive. Introductions are made. Billy invites her to stay with them, but Dawn says she has to go get the bus, so he offers to drive her and take her for pizza, and Allison makes a sour puss about it, but Dawn is on her way to Smitten in clip 9.
Somebody ought to bottle this guy for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, is a sleep aid, I assume. You mean? Because he is bizarring.
Again, this actress is doing what she can to sell this bad line, but like the emphasis all over that sentence, so much and so weird.
Yeah, it's just very, it's like she studied tapes of Jackie Mason, and now she can't not talk like that, so yeah.
Yeah. So over pizza, Dawn and Billy talk about Dawn's marriage to a failed rock star who was not as supportive of her dreams as she was of his. Billy snarks about what a drag it is when people don't believe in you without saying whether he's referring to his roommate or his dad. And now Dawn's hitting up open mics all the time and doubting herself. And Billy doubts himself sometimes too as a writer, LOL, but he's not giving up and she shouldn't either. And then he plays with her hand for a while. And then we're watching him walk her to her apartment door where he suggests that she ask him in for coffee, but she can't, claiming her place is a mess. He refuses to take a hint, stepping closer as he basically says he doesn't care. She's outgrown one-night stands, and he says he has two, LOL, and is leaning in to kiss her when the door opens and a kid is standing behind it with his babysitter. They heard Dawn on the other side of the door, and Martin, the kid, has been waiting, so Dawn awkwardly says it's okay and sends the babysitter home, and Billy and Martin are weirded out by each other. Billy makes the weirder face, though, which is in the visual aids. By the way, Billy and Martin...
Which is not easy, given that this kid could eat peanuts through a fence. It's not his fault. I also could have eaten peanuts through numerous fences at that age, but oof, this is not a fortunate phase of this child actor's life.
Do you want to comment on whether a baseball fan wrote this episode based on Billy and Martin in the same storyline?
That's just a fan of melodrama, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
May he rest. So Billy comes home from a night shift to tell Allison about Martin, and Allison's like, there goes Dawn, which that should be what happens, but no. Billy seems like he's trying to talk himself into dating Dawn anyway, despite the inherent complications, and Allison says she has empathy for single mothers, what with guys running away at the sight of your kid, which is, by the way, the opposite of the content of Dawn's performance. So, okay, sure. She was talking about how commitment-philic all of her dates are, or so she was implying.
I guess she's been dating recent Jake, because...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. But Allison gets that it's hard for a guy or anyone to commit to one person, never mind two. Billy seems to think this is an astonishing insight, and maybe he's being selfish ditching Dawn. And Allison, reasonable as ever, tries to make him understand this is a very dumb idea, even as Billy goes on about everything he has in common with this kid and kids in general, and off he goes to ask Dawn out for dinner this very night. But it ends up being dinner in at Dawn's, where Billy tries to offer to teach Martin to play soccer, a game Martin says he hates. She says he's in Little League.
Martin.
Billy tries to connect with Martin on their commonality of both having played Little League, calling himself the Reggie Jackson of Granada Hills, but Martin doesn't know who that is or pretends not to, be a snot.
Yeah, totally pretending not to. Come on, man.
Dawn says that Martin likes comic books. Billy says he has every issue of Silver Surfer, but Martin thinks that character is a wuss. So Dawn tells Martin to knock off the wise talk, but with a laugh in her voice, which may be why he knows he can push his luck in Clipton.
I'm not doing anything.
You're being a royal pain in the butt, that's what you're doing.
And you broke our deal. You said you wouldn't bring guys home for dinner.
Without asking you first, which I did I not?
Okay. Are you a child? This whole scene is so painful.
Okay, yes. But also, don't bring a guy home on your first date with him to meet your child. Like, maybe wait and see if you think you have a future before inflicting him on your child, who should be the more important person in your life.
Yeah.
Like, everything she does here with regard to Billy and Martin is wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
And instead of politely excusing himself, which a sensible person would do, given
thank you,
this fight,
Jesus, like, obviously I should come back another time. Like, you shouldn't, but why are you still sitting there? Martin
right.
hates your guts. Feign an asthma attack and leave. Come on.
Get out.
Yeah.
But Billy does not. He stays and changes the subject to an upcoming gig that Dawn has in Ventura. It's a paying job that could become permanent, but it's far and she doesn't know how she'll get there with her car in the shop. So Billy, of course, offers to drive and let Michael, why do I keep calling him Michael? Martin drive shotgun. Not sure Martin was invited to this adult comedy show, but it doesn't matter because he refuses to go anywhere with Billy and makes things even more awkward from there in clip 11.
Why can't you just ask Dad? Get him to pay for the car!
Because your dad won't even pay child support, let alone $300 to fix the car! Oh. I can't believe I said that.
Yeah, same. That's very bad parenting. Very, very bad.
Yeah. You know what else is bad? The acting. It's not good from anyone in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And also the prop food looks terrible. Like, let's just get it all out. It's like all different kinds of like weird beige things with what looks like brown rice. And like, apparently there are lily pads as appetizers. It's very weird. It's in the visual aids. I'm sorry to tell you.
So you'd think that at least after that blowout where he'd watched Dawn let her child bait her into screaming true things about his deadbeat dad, that Billy would say, well, I should leave you to it, and then definitely would leave after that. No, no.
No.
No, no, no. He has stayed long enough for Martin to go to bed crying, and to let himself in to try again to bond with him over pop culture, this time Terminator 2, which Martin is, by the way, too young to see. Yep. Martin wants his mom, but Billy thought that they could talk like men, and Martin is unsurprisingly wiser than Billy in clip 12.
No, we can't. I'm a kid. Ugh.
Boo. Billy changes the subject back to the movie and how the coolest thing about the Terminator is how he was there for the kid and his mother. Thank you, Billy. We get it. Martin says that the Terminator went away at the end, and Billy has to make subtext text by saying that he did in the movie, but this is real. He promises everything is going to be okay to this child he has known for part of one day, offspring of one woman he has known a day and a half. Like,
yeah.
No, I cannot stress enough how extremely irresponsible Billy is being here, but more importantly, how irresponsible Dawn is being introducing this goon to her son on their first date. It's not okay. I'm not okay with it.
Leaving him alone with her kid to have like man talks in the dark in his bedroom, like not to be gross and alarmist, but no. Go do some dishes and then get in your cab and leave.
Yeah. Forever. Let her smooth this over. It's her job. You're not part of this. Like, you won't be part of this for months, if then. Ugh. But the scene ends with her watching from outside the room and appraising Billy as worthy, I guess. This actor is not great. It's hard to tell what her mood is, I felt.
I mean, she was also, like, shot in reverse in the mirror with the fancy like focus pull that I think was of more concern to the director than how she was acting. So I think she was supposed to be opaque. I don't know. Who cares? She sucks.
True. So Billy comes home pouting after his rough night and asks Allison to borrow $300. She says she only has $520 in the bank, and somehow he interprets this as a green light to ask her for more than half of her entire net worth, promising to pay her back with interest. She points out that he's already way behind on their shared bills and asks what he needs it for, and so he lies that he had an accident in his cab, though the details he supplies about the other driver he hit do line up with Dawn's. And if he doesn't pay to fix the cab, he'll get fired. Allison was going to get a new transmission for Betsy. Remember her, but decides he needs it more if he's going to lose his job otherwise. And Billy feels guilty and tries to walk it back, but doesn't. Because when we see him next, he's giving $300 cash to a suspicious Don who wonders if he robbed a convenience store. Fanned out
like he's accepting it at the blackjack table. Like, just hand it to her. Idiot.
Seriously. So then she gets all flustered about following through and actually making it to the gig in Ventura. And it seems like the real issue should be dramatically that she's scared to like level up in her career and fail, but that doesn't actually happen. And Billy just keeps knocking down the obstacle she mentions. The shop will give her a loaner car, he'll babysit Martin, etc. And then she says her anxiety is that Billy's trying to look after her this way and it's scary. He says it's scary for him too, but he thinks she's the greatest. Just a reminder, he met her the day before yesterday. I just feel like I have to keep emphasizing this. Like, I know we're on a TV timeline, but like, it was 2 days ago you did not know this person.
Yeah, even for TV, this is extremely foreshortened. So,
yes.
Which makes it all the more ridiculous that Allison unfurled her doormat self in front of him with the money.
Yeah.
But Allison's gonna Allison.
Well, yeah. So as promised, Billy's babysitting Martin, but is he doing so at Martin's apartment where all Martin's stuff is? No. Has he let his roommate know that a child will be spending the better part of a day with them? Also no. And Allison is in her robe painting her toenails when Billy comes in and introduces them obliviously. Michael just kind of like gawps at her while she tries to be friendly. I'm not sure if he's like, we're supposed to think he's horny for her in a robe. It's unclear. Again, bad acting.
Yeah. And even worse shirt. This is quite possibly the worst shirt I have ever seen. And I have been covering Beverly Hills 90210, as you well know. This is like David level terrible.
Yeah, it's so not good. Bad.
Poor kids.
So Allison offers fruit doodles, Billy's favorite. And I guess those are supposed to be Greek Fruit Loops because Billy thinks they should be giving Martin granola instead. But it's academic. He's not hungry. Martin also thinks Allison is Billy's girlfriend, which makes them both laugh as they correct him. And Allison tries to excuse herself to enjoy her Saturday, but Billy gets the great idea to take Martin to Magic Mountain, at which prospect Martin himself can barely muster a shrug. And browbeats Allison into going with them, and it works, because Allison is, as previously mentioned, a doormat. And while she does have fun with Martin, she also lectures Billy that parenting isn't all trips to the amusement park. More often it's hard or boring or messy. She doesn't know how people handle it. Billy says she'll find out when she has kids someday, which leads to this, clip 13.
I don't want to have kids.
Are you kidding? Come on, every woman wants to be a mom.
Billy, just because I can produce them doesn't mean I'm duty-bound to have them.
Maybe I don't want to be tied down. Maybe I want more out of life. Maybe I don't think I can handle it. I know plenty of parents who can't.
Like yours?
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, that's pretty gentle foreshadowing for this show.
Yeah, maybe they were laying that storyline in earlier than we thought.
Yeah.
That's the second time they've done this.
Yeah. Huh. All right.
About her parents. But yeah. Also, every woman wants to be a mom. Shut up, Billy. You don't even know if Dawn wants to be a mom.
God, seriously, shut up, Billy.
So then Martin yells to Billy to buy him a hat, and off they go to spoil him. And later that night, Billy and Gay Matt are playing with Martin in the pool. Allison is surprised by how good Billy is with Martin and has a conversation about motherhood with Jane and Rhonda, in which Jane is, of course, tiresomely smug about how much you change when you have an unplanned pregnancy. Not that she puts it that way. And later still, Allison and Billy stand in the doorway smiling as Martin sleeps. And Dawn shows up then, apparently destroyed at her gig, is in another very bad dress. You can see the visual aids.
Oh, yeah. No, they did like I did, and they just bought like 5 in the same size off the rack at Express or Limited 2.
They were probably 5 for $100.
Yeah, probably.
But Dawn also announces that she wouldn't have been able to make it if Billy hadn't lent her the money for her car. And Allison turns on him with a death glare, but waits until Dawn goes to retrieve Martin to yell at Billy for lying to her. She doesn't disagree that Dawn needed his help and that he was being responsible. The issue is that he did it at Allison's expense. And the fight goes on after Dawn is left, with Allison reaming Billy out for falling too fast every time, even though Dawn is only the second woman we've seen him date. But still, she's right.
Still, yeah. Also, very poor returns on the first one. So, yeah.
Billy promises to work double shifts to pay Allison back in full, but she says he can't pay her back in full because she'll never trust him again. And the next day, Billy is walking up the hall to Dawn's apartment in another ugly shirt when he hears her inside fighting with a man who's obviously Martin's father, and decides it's his place after less than a week to march right into the middle of it. Mr. Dawn, whose name is Rob, rightly disdains Billy and snarks about Martin watching when Billy and Dawn have sex, leading Billy to shove him and Dawn to kick him out, which is when we learn that Martin is at home. And unfortunately for him, this is one of the few times on TV that a conversation can be heard from more than 2 feet away. And I definitely feel bad for the kid, but his cry face is terrible. Oh. You can see it in the visual aids.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Kind of like all his other faces. I mean,
well,
yeah,
true.
He wasn't, this was not his destiny. And we wish him the best.
Indeed. So Dawn is horrified and yet lets Billy be the one to start walking toward Martin to comfort him. I'm starting to think Rob is right about her being a bad mother. When we hear this, clip 14.
Are you satisfied? Do you feel like a real man now?
I'm sorry. I thought you were in trouble. I was just trying to help.
By throwing out Martin's father in front of his face? Who the hell gave you the right? My God, I hardly even know you, and you barge in here acting like you own this family? Making promises to my kid you're never gonna keep?
It's just that everything you said about Rob...
It doesn't matter what I said! Rob is the father of my child!
Listen, just try and understand how I feel.
How do you feel, Billy? You're a 23-year-old cabbie. You are free as a bird. Do you feel like stepping into Rob's shoes? Do you feel like taking on the obligations of a family? Is that what you want? Well, come on, Billy. I'm ready if you are. Yes or no? That's what I thought.
Okay, she's right that Billy is trying to take on more responsibility than he is prepared to, but he doesn't know how to act. Like, you as this child's mother have to be teaching him and keeping him away from making promises he can't keep. This is you. You did this.
Yeah. And like, you were the one who sort of encouraged this presumption. So, I mean, Billy's adult, but you have to have seen that from the jump. So I don't really have that much sympathy for you.
Yeah. Also, like, but that's my child's father. Like, yeah, who you were just very loudly screaming at so that he could hear you from the hallway like 10 seconds before Billy got here. So, like, dial it back.
Yeah.
Also, like, and then challenging him to, like, are you ready to take on the responsibility of this family? Like, you just met this guy. Don't make it out like this is his failing, that he's not ready to step up. You have not known each other a week.
Yeah. Everybody's wrong.
Everybody's wrong, but she's the wrongest. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. She could have headed all of this off in the past, and she didn't.
Yeah.
So.
Nope.
So, bitterly, she shoves $300 in his hand. It's Rob's child support money. Billy tries to give it back, but she orders him to take it and go. Ugh. Again, she did all of this. So a dejected Billy goes home to hand the cash over to Allison and apologize for jeopardizing their relationship. Not seeing interest on that as promised, but fine. She knows he was trying to be noble. He just wasn't being very realistic. Billy says he feels pampered by all the people in his life who've looked after him and liked the idea that Don might need him, and he doesn't want to lose that. Not a good foundation for a relationship.
Like, no,
listen
Galahad,
to the actual content isn't. Of her act. This Idiot. Is not what she wants. Ugh. So with that in mind, he goes to see her new set. Clip 15.
My life is one big search for that pirate prince to come and steal my heart. With or without a pierced ear? No, really. To me, a pierced ear could mean a guy is ready for a relationship. It shows he has chosen pain. I don't know. I guess it's my fault for always falling for guys who are just living out a fantasy. You know, it's really easy to spot them. You know the ones. They're dressed like superheroes with the little capes and the leotards. Hello, I'd like to rescue you. Now, if I could just say, no, I'm sorry, but I'm really looking for someone who isn't wearing their underwear on the outside. But you know, there are guys that are just into this damsel in distress thing like it is their favorite game. Stand back and I will rescue you from that villain. Lighten up, honey. That's just the guy trying to deliver the pizza. I think we need a new superhero. Commitment Man. He may not be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, but damn it, he'll be there for you. Thank you very much. Good night.
Yeah. Oof.
I mean, it has the benefit of making Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip look like incisive, hilarious genius, but oh my God. Like, we get it. She's talking about him.
Yeah.
We didn't need this scene at all.
Yeah. But it also has the benefit of making Billy feel like a chump. So it seems like she, though it is, it does sound very pointed. It doesn't seem like she knows that he's there until he finds her at the bar to tell her he doesn't want to be her new husband or Martin's new father.
Drinking, P.S., an extremely bright green, apparently melon liqueur based drink, and smoking a 120. Oh my God. She's like a Gabor sister. It's a nightmare. Anyway.
Billy says he just enjoys spending time with Don and doesn't want to stop. She lets him off the hook by admitting that she is the one who isn't ready to commit because she got married too young and had a kid too young, and now she has a chance to do her life right, and there's no room in it for him. He wants to say goodbye to Martin, but she doesn't think it's a good idea for either one of them. Yeah, it was never a good idea for them to meet at all, you fucking nitwit. Like, I hope you've learned a lesson from this, but also please put Martin in therapy. So he asks her to tell Martin he said hasta la vista, baby, and that he'll understand. We all understand. It was a pretty popular movie, but fine. So the next day, Billy has decided his new thing should be world travel, even though, as far as we know, he still does not have an extraneous $300 to his name. But
also,
never mind not having the money.
One of the places he would like to visit is, and I quote, the Orient.
That was like maybe right on the line of still being okay to say.
I can't really recall. It's like when they name someone who's 18 Vivian that you're like, when are we? Writers, really? Like, when do you think we are? Like, Dominic Dunn still drinks and they're having a black and white party. Like, oh my God. Like, what universe is this?
So, yeah, never not mind not having the money. Billy is grateful to have the freedom to take off and go. And Allison just stares at his idiot face, not pointing out the obvious of how dumb he is. Because, you know, she's on her way to work. She doesn't have time. But she is right, because Billy keeps talking and proves he hasn't learned anything in clip 16.
God, that was something. I mean, for a little while there, I had my own family.
What? I know.
Kind of gives you something to look forward to.
Yeah. Someday.
The usual barely contained Parker enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someday. If I'm not dead first. Okay.
Yeah. So there's some like kind of hinting around that the two of them are end game for each other. But, you know, so early that neither of them commits to it. And it's mostly just to kill time before the credits roll. And that's it for the episode. Let us name our most valuable player. I'm going to say Martin, even though the actor was very bad, he does the most out of everyone in his storyline of trying to keep everyone acting right with regard to like people acting in parental roles. Mm.
I'm going to go with Rob, because at one point he screams at her that she's not even funny, which made me laugh for like 10 minutes. It was just the delivery that he's like completely baffled. He's not even mad. He's like, dude, you're not even funny. Like, it was good. I don't think Rob is great, but he did eventually come through with the money and made some cogent points about how perhaps Dawn needs to put her kid first, because that's what you do.
Yeah. Well, to that point, least valuable player. Don, I know you're broke. Go to the library and get a book about being a single parent and read it, please, because you're doing everything wrong. And then when you're done, get a book about comedy and ditto.
Oh, I can't top that. Agree.
All right. What now?
Well, when last we left Andrew Hsu's sassy interview from 1994, the author was trying to shade him for like personalizing Billy's outfits between takes, which I thought was kind of bitchy. So let's see what else we are about to learn about Andrew Hsu. Your abridged version of Andrew Hsu's life story. He was raised in South Orange, New Jersey. His parents divorced when he was only five, but his family, he's got two brothers and a sister, actress Elizabeth, remained tight-knit. He was popular in high school. He was even class president. Whenever I decided that I was going into something, I really put myself into it and I did well. I had very good role models, my parents, he says. He had an unruffled suburban upbringing, free of angst, but says that at times he was in need of a gentle parental shove. My dad came to me and said, Andrew, both of your brothers are Eagle Scouts. You might want to think about doing a community service project, because I had quit the Boy Scouts. I needed that. He was accepted to Dartmouth on the strength of his soccer skills. You've probably witnessed Andrew / Billy's agility with balls poolside on Melrose. All right, Maureen, I see you. My SATs and grades were below the average of the normal Ivy League applicant, he admits. He considered going on to law or journalism school, but instead took off for Zimbabwe. My parents had taught in Africa, and my coach at Dartmouth had coached in Zimbabwe. Cool story. Andrew became a big star athlete and taught math to high school students there for a year. He then returned to the States and took a few lessons with his sister's acting coach. He auditioned for Melrose and didn't get the part, but was called back when the original Billy didn't work out. Sidebar, do we know who the original Billy was?
I don't think so.
I don't either. Listeners, if you know that off the tops of your heads, at AWT90210, let us know on Twitter. I'll try to do some research before next time. Admittedly, Andrew's not likely to win any awards for his acting. This is his first real role, and it shows. Yet he believes he has infused Billy with a certain substance. I have made a conscious effort to have Billy slowly develop into a more mature person who is growing up, he says in earnest. Anybody who gets promoted and goes out with older women, brackets Amanda, and things like that, starts to learn, and he's not going to take as much shit. I ask for an example of Billy's emotional evolution. I think going out and beating up Keith was a big move, he says, oblivious to the irony in that assertion. Dave has just informed me that the original Billy was Stephen Fanning.
I'm looking him up on IMDb now.
Of the Intercourse Pennsylvania Fannings. I don't know who that person is. Feel free to break in again as I continue. At the core of Andrew's dramatic interpretation is much eye-rolling and smirking, which would seem to support one theory that he is consciously mocking Billy. Somebody has a theory? Who has a theory? He demands. Just somebody I know, I swear to God, I replied defensively. They think that I make fun of his character because I'm embarrassed for him, because I wouldn't want to be him. He sounds perplexed and a bit pained. What about the time Keith almost raped Allison and then Allison said to you, if you could just be supportive, it's been a very hard week, and walked off and you just kind of rolled your eyes, I asked. He immediately lurches to Billy's defense. I rolled my eyes because I was like, she doesn't even appreciate the fact that I went all the way out there. I was reacting to how she was acting. She was acting like an idiot. If he thinks she's doing something that's just retarded, I'm going to react honestly to that. End quote.
Oh.
So that's where we're going to leave it for right now.
Okay. Update on Stephen Fanning.
Okay.
There are more than there's more than one active in IMDb, but I'm going to assume it was the one who appeared in both 21 Jump Street and Booker.
Oh, I think that's a safe bet.
But has not done anything since he played janitor in a movie called The Interview. And Dave has looked him up and reports he looks like a young Billy Joel. So, can't imagine why he didn't work out on this nighttime soap full of models.
Interesting. Although Billy Joel did pretty well for himself in the model department.
Well, good point.
Not permanently, though. Thus endeth this installment of the Sassy article. This is not how we talk. I hope Andrew Hsu has learned that. And we'll talk about him more next time.
Oh, Dave did a side-by-side. We're gonna put this in the visual aids. Faux show.
Isn't that guy on the right Leif Garrett? I think that's Leif
Apparently
Garrett.
Apparently not.
Anyway, we'll find out next time on Again With This Beverly Hills 90210 edition. This is why we could never go back to Arizona, because Dylan dragged everyone down there in a wild jack chase, only to stare miserably at Der Massive Sweatpant House for 2 weeks without going in. Meanwhile, David and Donna continue not to get back together yet for some reason. Noah evidently has a sea anemone stuck in his urethra, and the show expects us to believe that Steve's half-brother Randy Spelling could get into Amherst. You'll be getting into an entire roll of Tums when you get a load of our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. You can find those at our website, againwiththispodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at AWT90210 or join our gang at our Patreon page, patreon.com/againwiththis. I'm 2 Drink Minimum, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Animal Instinct, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And someone ought to bottle our producer, David T. Cole, for medicinal purposes. Talk to you next time.